I call your attention to a man by the name of Hezekiah, who was one of the kings in Judah, who did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. His excellencies are more noticeable because he is sandwiched between two bad kings. His father was an ungodly king and did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. His son, Manasseh, was among the most wicked of the kings of Judah. He is sometimes called the chief of sinners in the Old Testament. Hezekiah was rather young when he ascended to the throne. At the age of 25, he took the responsibility of turning a nation back to God. His grit must be admired, for in the first month of his good reign, he started a thorough house cleaning program, and in 16 days the temple was cleansed and reopened for worship. It's very refreshing to see young people interested in doing that which is right in the sight of the Lord. They are not too plentiful, but we thank God for the few who at the age of 25 or under have a definite purpose of heart to live for Christ. The happiest people in the world are those who were saved early in life and have the privilege of taking a stand for the Savior. Perhaps I have some young people in my listening audience who have never seen the importance of being saved in the days of youth. If so, I say to you most earnestly, you will never be happy nor satisfied until you come to Christ for salvation. Some of your older friends who turned a deaf ear to this warning will agree with me, for they have learned from bitter experience that their earlier days were wasted. I can say very emphatically that if you live without Christ, you are going to waste the best years of your life. I'm sure that Hezekiah had plenty of opposition in his endeavor to live for God, but his determination was well repaid. After 14 years of prosperity and faithfulness to God, King Hezekiah faced a sudden crisis. His health broke down, and the prophet Isaiah was sent to him to announce the fact that he would not recover. His message was, and the record is found in Isaiah 38, I'm reading the latter part of verse 1, "Thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live." He is just 39 years old, and in the very prime of life, and now he must give up all his activities and die. Put yourself into Hezekiah's shoes, and think of the shocking effect it had on the faithful king. Apart from the glorious prospect of the second coming of Christ in our lifetime, we too must say that death is inevitable, and that the same unpleasant visitor will stop at your door and at mine. He cares not how many plans he will interrupt. He always comes too soon. But the Lord's message is, set thine house in order. This would indicate that, naturally speaking, the house is not in order, and this the Bible clearly states. By nature we are sinners, and as such we are not prepared to meet God. The house of the soul is not in order because sin has put an ugly distance between a thrice holy God and the defiled sinner. Every unsaved person is living at a distance from God. My unsaved friend, I wonder if you will agree with me that your house is not in order. It may not be in disorder to the same extent as some of your neighbors, but you must admit it is not in order. That is, you are not prepared to die in your present state. I can almost hear someone saying, what can I do to get my house in order? Some would answer your question by saying, you must stop sinning. You must behave yourself into the kingdom of God. Such an answer does not come from God. For in the very first place, you can't stop sinning in thought, in word, and in deed, even if you try. You may be able to live a little more respectable, but even if you could stop sinning altogether, remember, God requires that which is past. Let us suppose that you have been buying your groceries on credit at the corner store. Then one day you say to the manager, I have decided to pay cash from today on, so we'll just forget about the past and call it square. How do you think it would work? I leave you to guess the answer. No, you will never get your house set in order by lopping off some of your pet sins. Your house is condemned. It's in such bad shape that only God can set it in order. And he would like to display his grace and power in so doing. If you will invite God to set your house in order, he will begin at the very base of things. He will first of all show you your lost and helpless condition as a guilty sinner in his sight. This you must acknowledge to be true. In order to make lost sinners fit for God's presence, they must be cleansed. You may try all the soap, all the detergent, all the Clorox in the world, but none of these will penetrate deep enough to remove the indelible stains of sin. But God, who is rich in mercy, has come out in grace to offer cleansing to otherwise hopeless sinners. That cleansing is provided at the tremendous cost of the death of his only begotten Son. No house could ever be set in order unless a mediator can be found. Christ became the guilty sinner's substitute. Your sins and mine were laid upon him while he suffered, bled, and died on the middle cross on Golgotha's hill. And I am indebted to him for providing a salvation that has satisfied God's throne of justice. God has asked me to put my faith, my full confidence in Christ for my cleansing and salvation, and this I have done. So God has declared that my house is now set in order. Christ has died as your substitute too, so he makes exactly the same offer to you. If your house is not in order, the fault lies in your own hands. It's because you have not received Christ as your Lord and Savior. Now coming back to our story regarding King Hezekiah, let's see how he felt when he heard the news that he must die. Verse 2 of Isaiah 38. Then Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord and said, Remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. God heard that prayer mingled with tears, and he commanded Isaiah to go back to the sick king with good news. Verse 5. Go and say to Hezekiah, Thus saith the Lord God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years. It's time for Hezekiah to dry his tears, for an extension of 15 years has been granted. If the Lord Jesus came to you on the occasion of extreme sickness and granted an additional 15 years, it would be greatly appreciated, I am sure. But think with me for a moment that God is making even a far greater offer to you. He offers everlasting life. Those 15 years that God was pleased to add to the king's life passed by all too soon, and at the age of 54, Hezekiah's time was up, and he was faced once more with the same unwelcome visitor. Those who receive everlasting life receive a possession that is permanent. The time does not run out. We live on and on and on for all eternity. It's true that we pass through the change of bodies, for we need a suitable body to enjoy heaven. We could hardly enjoy heaven if we took our neuritis, bursitis, laryngitis, or any of the rest of the itis family along. All our ailments will be left behind when we enter into the full enjoyment of everlasting life. There's just one thing that is difficult to understand, and that is that some people place no value on the offer of everlasting life. God's condition is, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God has made his move, and he is waiting upon you to make the next move. Yours is the choice. You can make it in the direction of heaven, or in the direction of hell. I appeal to your better judgment when I ask you to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior this moment.